All right, as I mentioned, you're going to want to be in Jeremiah and chapter number 35. That's where we'll be for the message. Jeremiah 35. Jeremiah 35. Tonight I want to preach a message to you from Jeremiah 35 that the Lord laid on my heart regarding this passage of Scripture. It's a passage of Scripture that we've covered in church before. It's something that we've talked about. I don't know for sure. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that I've preached a message directly from the chapter before, but I know I've referenced it in different messages that I've preached regarding this story of the Rechabites and how God blessed them because they obeyed their father's commandment. But as I was reading this last couple of days in my personal devotional time, the Lord really struck me again with this passage of Scripture and the fact that there is a need for us to remember that there are some things that maybe some of our authority, whether it be parents or a pastor or whatever the situation might be, that there are some things that they would either give us as standards or advise us to do or not to do that we would be wise to take heed to. And tonight I would title this message, Why Standards? Why Standards? In other words, it's a question. Why Standards? In other words, why is it that we should have some things in our life that we've just drawn a line in the sand or put up a barrier and said, you know what, this is as far as I'm going to go. Why is that important? And we'll see that and we'll learn some lessons from this passage of Scripture. I had Brother Jesse read verses 12 to 17. For the Scripture reading, so we won't read that part again, but remember, God blessed the Rechabites for their stand and obedience to their father. But let's read the previous 11 verses, so Jeremiah 35 and verse number 1. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go unto the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites, and I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, Drink ye wine. But they said, We will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, and all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters. Nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed, but we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed, and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadrezzar king of Babylon came up into the land, that we said, Come, and let us go to Jerusalem, for fear of the army of the Chaldeans, and for fear of the army of the Syrians, so we dwell at Jerusalem. We have in this chapter the story of, or the illustration of, I should say, obedience to standards that don't necessarily make sense. Obedience to standards that don't have a chapter and verse, but obedience just because of some wisdom. Not only do we have the illustration of some obedience to standards that don't have chapter and verse because of wisdom, but we have God's blessing on those people because of their obedience to their father and their willingness to follow their father's wisdom. Now, the interesting thing about this passage of Scripture is the context is not necessarily just about standards. It's rather about God showing his people Israel through an illustration of how they could have very easily obeyed God's commandments, but they simply chose not to. And he used the Rechabites as an example. He had Jeremiah put wine in front of them and said, Drink wine, and they refused. And the reason that they refused is because, not because it was against God's law, but they refused because one of their forefathers had given a commandment to all of his descendants that, listen, you're not to drink wine, you're not to build houses, you're not to plant vineyards or sow seed or any of those things. Rather, you're to be, I'm assuming, somewhat nomadic, so that you just stay in a right perspective, understanding that materialism is the enemy. Now, I'm putting my words in there. I hope you understand that. The Bible doesn't tell us why Jonadab gave that commandment, but that's my assumption, that he understood that they'll have an easier time keeping their focus on God if they stay away from wine, if they don't own their own land, if they don't sow seed and plant vineyards, etc. Now, that wasn't God's law. It was their father's commandment, and yet they obeyed. And God used that as an illustration to Israel to say, listen, if they obey something that is just from their father, then why can't you, Israel, obey me when I give you my commandments? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? But in the meantime, he also blessed the Rechabites because they had obeyed their father's commandments. I want to use this illustration that God gave as an illustration of how, for you and for me, we all ought to have some standards in our lives, some things that we have set up as, this is a line in the sand, or maybe a better illustration would be, this is a wall or a fence in my life that I'm not going to go out of. We all, by the way, we all have those standards. But I want to encourage you tonight to think about your standards and make sure that they're right standards. And I also want to encourage you that you don't always have to have chapter and verse. It's okay to have a standard that's higher than what you have to do. You know that God's actually okay with that. Let's pray and then we'll get in the message. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word to your people. Lord, I thank you for this church, and I thank you for the fact that you have put together here a group of Christians that love you, a group of Christians that love one another, and that desire to fellowship together in worshiping you. Now, Lord, you get the glory for all of this. It has nothing to do with me or any previous pastor. It has nothing to do with even the church as a whole. It has everything to do with you. You receive the glory for anything good that comes from this congregation. But Lord, we would ask that tonight you would work in a great way through your word. Your word is true. Our thoughts and our ideas are lies, but your words are true. And so, Lord, I pray, would you allow us from your word to be able to gain something tonight that would help us in our Christian walk? Lord, I pray specifically for each one of us as we think about standards in our lives, that, Lord, we would be able to understand, number one, what standards you would want, but also how to apply those to our lives and implement them in our lives. Lord, would you guide my words and guide all of our ears to say and to hear the truth? In Jesus' name, amen. So think about in this story, why did Jonadab make this rule for his descendants that they were not to drink wine, own houses, plant vineyards or sow seed? Why did he do that? Again, the Bible does not tell us, at least not as far as I see right here. But I believe that the reason is they would be able to stay away from covetousness, or just what the Bible calls in the New Testament, loving this world. Remember 1 John 2:15? We mentioned it on Sunday. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We need to not love the world. Well, one of the easy ways to not love the world is not own things in the world. Now, I would remind you that God did not give that as a commandment. In fact, God had given inheritance to his people. He had given them land, and yet this father had said, not for my family and not for my descendants. Don't do it. God had also allowed them, by the way, to drink the fruit of the vine, which is the wine that it talks about here. Not talking about what we think of as wine in modern day culture. It's just anything that is the fruit of the vine. It may have been somewhat fermented, but it didn't have to be. They're all considered wine. And he told them, stay away from it. Now again, that wasn't in Scripture. That wasn't a Bible-based standard. That was one that he had made for his family. Why did he do that? I would guess it was just to keep them safe. Because, by the way, that's what standards do. When I talk about standards, again, I'm talking about a thing in your life that you say, you know what, I'm not going to do this. This is a line I'm not going to cross. This is a standard that I have. I'm just not going to do this. You have a lot of those in your life. Even the world has those things in their lives. And when I talk about standards, I want you to think about it this way. Think of it as an element of safety. Why would it be important that you would say, I'm not going to do this? For instance, here's an example. I have for myself the standard that I'm not alone with any woman other than my wife. Now, why would I have that standard? Well, because it's a safety thing. I have no interest in any other woman other than my wife. But I don't trust myself. Because I'm a sinner as far as in my flesh. And I understand that I don't need to give myself the opportunity. It's not worth the risk. And if that makes somebody upset, if somebody doesn't like that, if it hurts somebody's feelings, it's just too bad. It's important enough to me, number one, that I would stay pure in my relationship with my wife, but also that she would know that I'm pure. It's important enough to me that I'm willing to even hurt feelings. That's a standard. That's a barrier. I'm not going to cross that. It's safety for me. But here's the other thing. You know what else it does? It protects me from the outside too. Think about this. If somebody were to accuse me of ever being inappropriate with them, it's not a guarantee that I could prove my innocence, but I have a lot better chance to prove my innocence because I have that standard. And I'm never alone with women. So you're accusing me of what and when would be the question. Because you're going to have a hard time showing that I was ever alone. Because it's just, my standard is I just don't do it. You understand? It protects me from wrong and it protects wrong from coming at me. And there are lots of standards. That's an extreme example, but we do it all the time in our lives. That's what Jonadab was doing with his children. Here's another question for you. Was Jonadab wrong to take standards that God had not made and say to his family, this is for you? And the obvious answer is no, he was not wrong because God never rebukes him for it. So he was not wrong. Was it helpful that Jonadab made this standard? Yes. His children had stayed away from the things that he wanted them to stay away from. Apparently it worked. It was helpful to him and to his descendants. So, why should we have standards? Why should we look at our standards? Because of safety for us and keeping the satanic influences from us. So, when I speak tonight about this, the people that I'm really speaking to are obviously all of us. But let me say to those who are fathers or husbands and are watching, I'm especially speaking to you. Because whether or not you realize it, you have a responsibility. Yes, I'm talking to you. You have a responsibility to set the standards for your home. It is not the wife's job to do it. Now, should she advise and help and pray and all of that? Should it be a team effort? Absolutely. But when push comes to shove, the decision that needs to be made is the man. Men, these things should be set in stone by you. And I know that's not popular today, and I don't see a lot of it today, by the way. I see a lot of it coming from the women and guys just kind of going along with it. It shouldn't be that way. So, unto you, O men, I call. Let me say as well, obviously it applies to everybody, but there's another group that I would especially speak to. We have quite a few young people, whether male or female, who are in our church and are what I would consider young adults. You may or may not still live in your parents' home, but you're out of high school, you're adult age, and yet you're single yet. This is a great message for you. Maybe even you're in your upper teen years, you're still in high school, but you're on the edge of getting into what the world would consider adulthood. Then I want you especially to pay attention as well. Because you're at a time in your life where you live in your parents' home probably, and they have standards, you abide by those standards, but you're on the cusp of getting into a point in your life where you are going to have to decide what your standards are. And I want you to tonight examine those things. Why? Because it's important. It's important for your safety. Brother Dexter just went on vacation with his family this last month. And if I'm not mistaken, you went to the Grand Canyon. Is that right? Is it really grand? It is grand. He gave a thumbs up. It's really grand. You know, one of the things that I know about the Grand Canyon, even though, by the way, I lived in Arizona for 5 years, never visited the Grand Canyon. It's because we were way down south and extremely poor. We could not drive all that way up there just to see the Grand Canyon. But one of the things I know about the Grand Canyon from videos is at those big rims where there's a precipitous drop in elevation, they put some rails there, some fences. And I know that if I visited the Grand Canyon, I would be glad there was a fence there. I'm not afraid of heights, but I respect them very much. And I'm glad to know here's a rail. And guess what? The National Park Service decided there should be a fence here. I am not one of those idiots to go, you know what? Why is there a fence here? And climb over it. I don't think that way. When I go to the zoo, I don't get to the tiger enclosure and go, what's the fence doing here? Let's climb this baby. Come on, Caleb, let's go. I don't do that. Why? I understand somebody, either smarter than me or just as smart as me, decided you shouldn't go any further than this. If you go further than this, there's at least a little bit of a chance that you're going to have a problem. I want to encourage you, young people, fathers, all of us, pay attention. Take the time, just like the National Park Service would do, to examine where your fences are. Are your fences too close to the world or danger? Parents, let me encourage you with this. You might even say, my fences are fine. And look, I've lived all this time and it's kept me from sin. But can I remind you that your children, listen, pay attention, your children will go further than you have. So if your fences are not in the right spot, I guarantee you, your children will not place their fences in the same place yours is. They'll always be a little closer to the edge, every single time. I can say it's been that way in my life, from my dad. Now, in some areas, I've been a little bit closer to the edge, and I've pulled back, realizing, ooh, that wasn't very smart. In some areas, I've even put the fence a little bit further back. But it's never in the same place. Parents, pay attention. The next generation is at stake. You've got to think forward, not just where you are today. Let me give you three examples of areas of standards in your life, and then we'll get into the main part of the message, all right? The first one is entertainment. This is an area where you need to look at the fences. What are your standards for entertainment? Movies, television shows, radio, other forms of music, whatever else, places you will go. What are your standards for entertainment? What are the fences that you've put up and said, we're not going to listen to this kind of music. We're not going to watch any television show that has this or any movie that would be, you know, whatever. It could be a rating, it could be things that are involved in it, whatever. Or maybe we're not even going to watch anything at all on television. Whatever. But look at those fences. Entertainment. Let me give you another one. Food and drink. Food and drink. What are your standards for what you will put into your body? You need to examine those. That's important. By the way, something that's becoming more and more prevalent in our day and age in which we live is the idea that, well, social drinking isn't really a bad deal. And I want to say to you, it is a bad deal. In fact, let me just rile a few people up because I enjoy doing it. It's a lot of fun. But you understand that if our government really was concerned about saving people's lives, and if it was really all about the science, they'd shut down alcohol today. Alcohol kills millions of people, if I'm not mistaken, in this country every year. Whether or not it's millions, I don't know the exact numbers. I heard it recently and it slipped my mind. But check it out yourself. You can find the info online. And listen, why doesn't our government do that? Money. Long time ago, prohibition was taken away, not because of gangsters and all that stuff. That's what they'll tell you. But that's not the answer. The answer was they decided they could tax it and it might help them get out of the Great Depression. But you know what? For a Christian, you and I, we ought to be wise enough to understand that. So there is an extreme example. But you know, you might have other examples. Food and drink is one of those areas. Let me give you a third area, and that is clothing. Everybody has standards for clothing, and I'm glad you do. But you need to examine, where are those fences? What are the things that I will allow myself to wear, my children to wear? If you're a lady especially, that's an important area. We guys, whatever, we just kind of throw on whatever. But ladies, it's a much bigger deal, and the way you look, ladies, is extremely important. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. What I mean is this. I have yet to meet a lady, I think anyway, that really understands how a guy's mind works. Guys' minds work differently than yours. Guys' eyes work differently than yours. And they're attracted to things you would not even imagine. And it does matter how you dress. Now, guys need to keep their eyes where they belong, but ladies need to help, especially Christian ladies need to help with that. That's an area where you should examine the fences, okay? Now, let me get into the main part of the message. We won't take a long time with this, but let me share with you five lessons that we can learn from this passage of Scripture in Jeremiah 35, okay? The first one is, and we've alluded to it already, not every standard must have a chapter and verse. We get that from this story of Jonadab and the Rechabites here because he had gone further than what God had said. And God never rebuked him for it. God never chastised him for it. In fact, God actually blessed them for obeying their father. So I want to take the pressure off of you, dad and mom. You do not have to have a chapter and verse for every standard that you have. It is okay to say, you know what? I don't believe that this would be wise for us to do. And so we're not going to do it. Or I think it would be wise for us to get involved with this. You don't have to always have a chapter and verse. Now, hopefully a Bible principle would be behind it. And I'll give you some other tips for when you have something that's not chapter and verse. But don't buy Satan's lie that if God didn't say directly it was wrong, then you don't have the authority to, you know, to stand on, to put your foot down and tell your kids, hey, we're not going to do that. Let me encourage you, you do have the authority to do that. And God expects you to do that. And you're neglecting your duty if you don't do that. Sometimes we have standards that don't have a chapter and verse because of a weak conscience. That's interesting, isn't it? Look at Romans 14. Romans 14 we've looked at recently. And in Romans chapter number 14, what we find in verse number 1, it says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things. By the way, the context means including meat that was offered to idols. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. In other words, I'm going to stay away from all meat and just be a vegetarian so that I don't ever eat anything that was offered to idols. Well, that is a person who is weak, okay? Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. We don't have time to read all of Romans 14. I would love to, but let's skip down to verse 23, I believe it is. Notice what the Bible says, and he that doubteth, in other words, whether or not he ought to do something, is damned, or we might say in modern English, condemned, if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So sometimes we have a standard that goes a little bit further than it even really ought to because of a weak conscience. But do you understand that in God's Word, God doesn't spend a whole lot of time condemning people for a weak conscience or trying to straighten them out? He'll mention it a couple of times throughout Scripture. Hey, an idol is nothing, Paul said. And you know what? If you eat meat, just eat it. Don't ask questions about it. You know, but if you find out it was offered to idols, well, then don't eat it for the conscience of the person that's watching you. But other than that, he doesn't really say much. God understands that sometimes some people have weak consciences. And listen, that's okay. Here's what is important. Do not go against your conscience. Let me say that again. Do not go against your conscience. It says there in the verse that we just finished reading, if you doubt in your heart, in other words, if you doubt and then you eat, you're damned. In other words, you're condemned. That's sin to you. If your conscience says, don't do that, and yet every other Christian says, what are you talking about? That's okay. Then for you to do it is S-I-N, sin. It's a big deal to go against your conscience. You might write these verses down. I don't have the opportunity, the time tonight to read them, but 1 Timothy 3:9, Acts 23:1, and 1 Corinthians 8:7. So 1 Timothy 3:9, Acts 23:1, and 1 Corinthians 8:7. In those passages of Scripture, here's what you'll find. The Apostle Paul said, especially in Acts 23:1, he gave testimony that he had a clear conscience before God and man. And he kind of bragged about that in a way. Like, in my words, here's what he was saying. This is something that's important to me, that I have a clear conscience before God and man. He didn't go against what he believed in his heart he should do. And neither should you. Neither should you. Second point here, or the second lesson that we can learn from this Jeremiah 35 illustration is, it is okay to set standards based on prevention. It is okay to set standards based on prevention. That's what Jonadab did, as far as we can tell. The only reason that he had for setting that standard for his family is to prevent them from covetousness. Again, that's my assumption. And it's okay for you to set up standards based on prevention. You may not have something that, you know, chapter and verse, but you just believe in your heart, you feel like the Holy Spirit's leading you to say, you know what, if you'll make this standard in your home or this standard in your personal life, it'll just keep you from trouble. You know that that's okay. And if that makes people mad, if that frosts them, it's all right. You've got to do what you believe God wants you to do. Look with me at Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 11. Here is a father speaking to children in general, and he says in verse 11 of Proverbs 4, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Notice verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Notice verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What I want you to notice about that passage of Scripture is in verse 11 and just a couple verses beyond, he says to the children, I have taught you in the way you should go. And then in verse number 14, he says, don't go into the path of the wicked. And then verse 15, he says, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. In other words, don't even get close to the wrong way. Don't even go near it. Now, if you have little children, I'm going to assume that you don't let them play in the street. Pretty safe assumption. I'm also going to go a step further and assume that you also don't let them play at the curb. Now, why? Pretty rare that a car jumps the curb. It does happen, but it's pretty rare. But you are wise enough to understand that, you know, kids a lot of times aren't paying attention when they're playing, and if you allow them at the curb, they'll eventually go over the curb, and they'll be in the street and squash like, you know, your kitty when you were 11 years old. And so if you're like me, every once in a while we'll let our kids play in the front yard, but most of the time we make our kids play in the backyard. Because we know you're far away from traffic, and you can run around all you want, and you know what? There's no danger of cars back there. Avoid the dangerous area. And you know it's okay to set standards that are just prevention. We don't have to be here. This is not where I in my life just absolutely have to be. I'm just going to set the standard far enough away from evil that I know that I'm safe. It's okay to do that. That's apparently what Jonadab did. Let me give you the third lesson. This is important, especially for parents. Be honest about your standards. Parents, let me say that again. Be honest about your standards. I would encourage you to have standards that are strong standards in entertainment, in food and drink, in clothing, whatever else. Have strong standards. Don't ride the world. Don't look like the world. Don't act like the world. Don't talk like the world. Don't listen to the same things and watch the same things as the world. Good night. Step way back from the world. Have strong standards. But parents, the key is to be honest about them. In other words, sit down with your children. And by the way, I'm a firm believer in kids ought to obey just because they were told to obey. I know that's going to frost a few more Madisonians, but listen, it's okay. They don't always have to understand every little thing. You don't always have to sit Johnny down and explain why you do what you do. But at the same time, in the area of standards, it's wise to say, listen, son, this is not something that God specifically has said we have to do. But son, here's an area where God says we shouldn't go. So I've set the standard way over here to keep you safe from getting involved in something that God says don't do. Son, that's why I've done this. Be honest with him. Don't try to, you know, pretend that, well, this is, bless God, if I've said it, it's God's law. No. Just be honest with him. And say, son, this is my jurisdiction. God's given me the authority, and I'm setting the line here. And we're going to have to follow what I say. When you get out on your own, you can set the standard where you want it. But this is where it's going to be. And you know what? If you'll do that with a smile on your face, with more than just a smile on your face, if you'll do it with joy in your heart, if you'll live a life where daily you are filled with joy, you know that your children won't buck against your standards nearly as easily. Most of the time, the reason that children buck against standards and when they get to be teenagers, they're rebellious, is because really in their parents' heart, there was a lot of friction and lack of joy and all of that. And so kids go, why would I want that? That's depressing. But when you have parents that have strong standards and their hearts are filled with joy and they walk around the house having a good time, enjoying life and laughing and joking and singing and rejoicing, kids are a lot more likely to say, man, mom and dad had something that I want. That's the key. Be honest about those standards. Here's what Jesus rebuked. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Verse number 1. Then came Jesus, or then came to Jesus, Matthew 15, 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? So there was a standard set by the elders. For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. By the way, is it a good idea to wash your hands before you eat? Especially in COVID, right? Although, who was it? Somebody was up here. Was it Phil Skipper that was up here and he told us about a friend of his that changed the wax seal on a toilet and then just grabbed a sandwich right out of his lunchbox? I'm telling you, that's how you stay healthy. You know, actually, by the way, do you know that they're saying that tuberculosis is on the rise right now? And they think that perhaps it's because people's immune systems are so low right now because we haven't been interacting with people nearly as much. And our immune systems are now suppressed a little bit because of that. That's interesting, isn't it? But is it a good idea to wash your hands? All right, it is. But it was a tradition of the elders, and they were upset that people weren't following it. Now, Jesus rebukes them a little bit, but I want you to skip down to verse number 7. Notice what Jesus says, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Notice verse 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Jesus didn't rebuke them for having commandments of men. Jesus rebuked them because they taught them as if they were doctrines. And parents, that's a pitfall we can fall into. Don't try to snow your kids into thinking that everything you do is because, bless God, God said it, therefore we're going to do it. Now, if God said it, tell them. But if this is just your opinion and you're going to set the standard here, be honest with them. They know the truth anyway. And all you do is bring up bitterness if you try to pretend that it's just, you try to put the blame on God rather than on yourself. It's okay to set the standard higher, but just be honest with them and say, this is where I'm setting the standard. Lesson number 4, whatever you do, walk in integrity. Walk in integrity, whatever you do. So in other words, if you have the standard, follow the standard. And if you have the standard, be consistent. Look with me, if you would, at Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Integrity just means consistency. It means thoroughness or completeness or perfection. Not perfect as in sinless, but as in every area of your life follows that pattern. That's integrity. Not a two-faced person. So Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 7, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. So if you're going to have standards, walk in integrity. In other words, this. Don't sit the family down and say, this is the standard we are going to have. I believe that this will keep us safe from evil. I believe this will keep Satan out of our lives. This is the standard. All right, here we go. And then a week later, your kids find you breaking the standard. That's a no-no. That's not integrity. And you're going to have big-time problems. You're going to have bitterness and all kinds of things. Wherever you set the standard, be honest with it. You hear about what the mayor of Chicago did during the whole lockdown thing? Mayor Lightfoot. She was locking down Chicagoans back in, I forget, March, April, May, something like that. And then all of a sudden, a certain hairstylist posted on Instagram the fact that Mayor Lightfoot of Chicago had gone to her salon and made an appointment so she could have her hair done. Now, salons at that time weren't open. Nobody else could have their hair done. But the mayor of Chicago took the time to go to her stylist and risk her getting sick so that she could have her hair done. And when she was called on it, here's what she said. She said, yeah, but I'm a national figure and I have to go in front of the cameras. Literally, this is what she said. I have to go in front of the cameras, therefore I have to look good. I'm a public figure. That's a lack of integrity. But do you know what's sad? We pick on the mayor of Chicago, which, by the way, isn't very hard to do. You know, sometimes as Christian parents, we're just like that. And we bring up bitterness in our kids because we've set a standard and then we don't follow it. Walk in integrity, okay? I'll give you one more lesson. Number five, here's for the children. Children, be wise enough to learn from the standards that you're given. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 8. Proverbs 1 and verse 8. I wish I had time to go through all of the verses in Proverbs that talk about the same thing, but Proverbs 1:8 will be a good example of it. Notice what Proverbs 1:8 says. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. That doesn't say the law of God, it says the law of thy mother. In other words, the standards that your parents have set up, follow them. If you want to be wise, pay attention. And young people, children, teenagers, let me encourage you. Pay attention to where your parents have set the standards. And think about it. Pray about it, especially those of you who are getting into adulthood now. There's a reason your parents set the standards where they were. You need to examine those. By the way, perhaps you need to go even stronger in some of those areas. Perhaps you need to be more consistent than your parents were. But don't just think to yourself, here's a common question. Why can't I do whatever? Let me encourage you to ask the question, why should I? Not why can't I, why should I? If I'm going to cross this barrier when I have the opportunity, why should I cross that barrier? Children, you would be wise to learn from the standards that your parents have. And parents, let me encourage you tonight. Where are the fences in your life? Take the time to examine. I give you three specific areas. Entertainment, food and drink, and clothing. What standards do you have? Perhaps you've never thought about them. You've never laid them out. You should. If you leave it to chance, it's going to be a mess. Set the standards. Pay attention to where they are. Pray about them. Seek God's face. Perhaps the standards for you are going to be different than the standards for me. Perhaps my standards are going to be different than somebody else's. God might have me be like the Rechabites and be a little more conservative. Or maybe would have you set the standard a little more conservative than I would because God says that's for you. Wherever it is that God has you put that fence, then put it there and follow it with integrity. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you for your word, and I thank you that you even include examples in your word of things that we can learn from. Lord, you said in your word that the Old Testament examples were given to us for just that, examples. Thank you. Now, Lord, I thank you for the law that you've put in your word. But Lord, would you also help us to be able to look in our lives and set standards for ourselves that would please you. And I pray, Lord, that you would do that for Jesus' sake. Give us wisdom. Help us to walk in integrity. Show us where we failed in any area and give us grace to overcome that in Jesus' name. Amen.